Good morning, everybody. I'm very happy to be here with you today. Today, we're going to talk about crucial moments. Are you ready? History is full of crucial moments, moments in which each one of us could make a difference. And today, we are living a crucial moment in the history of mankind. Today, the perseverance of Joseph the Dreamer, the honesty of Daniel, and the courage of Joshua Chamberlain, a war hero, will help us find direction through these crucial moments. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be together, even from home, allowing us to hear your word, to worship you, to praise you. I thank you because this pandemic has not divided us as a church. Instead, there is a vibrant church at each home, and we have decided to trust you and your loving Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word and for everything that you have prepared for us today. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen. Okay, these past weeks, I have been preaching to our youth group the story of Joseph the Dreamer. And I could not get out of my head that this story is a very good way to start this message. In my opinion, Joseph is one of the main icons of perseverance, particularly at crucial moments. But let me give you some context about Joseph's history. In Genesis 37, we learn about how Jacob made a very special robe for Joseph, a physical reminder of how much his father loved him, even more than his other children, and his brothers despised him for it. This was not the only problem. Joseph also had a series of dreams. We find this at Genesis 37, 6 and 7. So Joseph told them, "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundles stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." This was not an ordinary dream, and his brothers knew it. This dream was not about bundles of grain. It was about power. And Joseph was sending a message by sharing the dream. He was actually saying, "One day I will be more powerful than you." And then, as if it was not enough, Joseph had another dream where now not only his brothers bowed before him, but also his parents. This is how the hearts of his brothers were filled little by little with hatred and bitterness. And one day, when Joseph goes to see them, his brothers made a terrible decision. They decide to kill him. Thank God one of them said it was not necessary to go to such extreme. So they had another great idea. They decide to throw him into a well, and moments later, his own brothers sell him as a slave to a group of merchants. Joseph's life had changed dramatically. After having everything in the blink of an eye, he had nothing. From being the favorite at home, enjoying all kinds of privileges, now he didn't even have his freedom. Joseph's life had changed drastically. After having everything in the blink of an eye, he had nothing. From being the favorite at home, enjoying all kinds of privileges from his mom and his dad, now he didn't even have his own freedom. Suddenly, Joseph was walking, most surely with his hands tied toward slavery, to a country with different traditions, where another language was spoken, and where his life had definitely changed forever. I believe it would be a little bit unfair to compare Joseph's life against our own situation today, but we do find something where we could identify with him. Our life changed in a blink of an eye. In a certain way, we have also lost freedom. We've lost privileges. We also suffered economic losses. Many have lost their loved ones. And just like Joseph, at some point, we have felt that uncertainty, fear, and lots of stress lately. But something that made a profound difference in Joseph's lives was the following. And we find this in Genesis 39:2. Pay attention. "The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did." Did you hear that? The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did. We find this verse right when Joseph is sold as a slave to Potiphar, who was a high official of Pharaoh. This story in the Bible tells us that Joseph was so good at everything he did that Potiphar appointed him as the steward of his house and gave him the administration of his property. And Potiphar, thanks to Joseph's good work, didn't have to worry about anything but eating. But here is something that really draws my attention. For the Lord to be with Joseph, it was because Joseph was with the Lord. In other words, Joseph had committed himself to God. Let's stop here and analyze the story. That your own brothers plan your death, then instead of killing you, they decide to sell you as a slave, that must be something really tough. I haven't met anyone that actually went through something like that. But I do know a lot of people that, for much less than that, have turned their backs to God. But what did Joseph do? Instead of getting mad and turn his back to God, Joseph prospered in everything he did. Why? Because the Lord was with him at all times. It is evident that Joseph was faithful to God despite all his misfortunes. So this brings us to point number one, perseverance. Perseverance in Joseph's life was what gave him direction in crucial moments. The first crucial moments that I can find in Joseph's life, it's actually when he was sold as a slave. Do you agree that from that moment his heart could have hardened? At this point, you start looking for someone to blame for your suffering, and in our culture and nowadays, that is something pretty normal. He could have thought, which of my sweet little brothers planned all of this? Which of my sweet little brothers planned all of this? Who did this? Who did this to me? And anyone could justify his anger and even the failure of his entire life due to an event of this magnitude. But how many stories we have heard about people who do just one single event in their life, they justify the failure of their own entire lives. But Joseph was not that kind of person. But we are like that sometimes. Let's actually think about this. In our society, we have the mentality that we deserve a life without pain, without suffering, without problems. And, well, when life actually gives us the opposite, we feel entitled not to only blame someone, the government, the system, or even feel sorry for ourselves, but we also invest a lot of time just to cope with the situation. We do not face the situation. We don't realize about the wonderful opportunities that are found within the crisis, and the truth is that most of the time, we run away from them. I believe this is one of the main reasons why we wear out ourselves so much. Because we run away from trouble simply because it stresses us out or wears us out. And we truly believe that if we just block ourselves, we're gonna be less stressed or less tired. When in reality, it's the opposite. The more we run away from the situations, the more stressed out we get. And then what happens next is that we have no strength nor desire to serve others. I am not sure if you have gone through this, but when I am trying to run away from something or trying to avoid someone, it really, really wears me out. That happens to me exactly. I spend a lot of time thinking about it, and then I start feeling completely drained and extremely, extremely tired. Some time ago, my wife and I were going through a tough situation. And after many months thinking about this problem, I came up with my own conclusions, of course. And I came to a truth that was not real at all. I had invented it without realizing it. To this situation, I also added special effects. And I also added salt and pepper. And then I did something very strange. I took that idea that I created on my mind, and I baked it slowly, slowly inside my heart. Of course, the end result was a very adulterated truth, something that I totally made up. When I couldn't handle it anymore, I decided to talk to my wife. I told her everything I felt and everything I thought. Of course, I did it in a very loving, calm way. And I truly, truly spoke from my heart. In other words, I actually faced my situation. The end of it was that she explained things to me And I realized that I wasted a lot of time and energy in something that I simply created in my mind. This gave our marriage an incredible turn. Not only solved my problem, but after facing the situation, our marriage improved a lot. In this, I find a very similar situation to this confinement, because we now have more time and we are given the opportunity to be perseverant. But you can be perseverant for better or for worse. You could be investing your time and energy in developing bad thoughts or even bad habits. You could blame others for this pandemic and its consequences. Or, on the other hand, you could use this time to actually strengthen your relationship with God, to strengthen your intellect, to learn new things, to strengthen your emotions, to strengthen your relationships, or even strengthen your body. Joseph, judging by his results, used crucial moments to strengthen himself and strengthen his relationship with God, to a point that when he was harassed by Potiphar's wife, he actually stood firm. Listen to what Joseph says to this stalking woman. You can find this in Genesis 39:9. "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Once again, Joseph is persevering. He is persevering by not sinning against God, wanting to do the right thing in God's eyes. And as a consequence, he doesn't do something against his boss's eyes. And he is not being selfish by thinking only about him. He was also honoring God, honoring his boss, and respecting everyone. Some say that Potiphar's wife was very, very beautiful. Joseph could have done the wrong thing. He could have told her, "Let's hide, let's tell nobody about us, and let's keep doing this." But he decided not to do it. He could have only been thinking about himself, but again, he decided not to do it. He was actually persevering and not sinning against God. He merely decided to do what his boss asked from him and not be selfish. But let's put ourselves on a similar situation. Let's rethink some questions. From our own trench, from our own actuality. I mean, I am not Joseph, you're not Joseph, but from our own trench, our own actuality, how can we fight temptations and actually win? How can we keep loving and serving people when life is full of pain and problems and now even pandemics? How do you get to the point of being able to resist? One of the keys is being perseverant. And this is not of little importance at all. Listen to what the Bible says. Matthew 24:13. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Incredible things happen to the people who persevere, even when it doesn't look like that in the beginning. That was exactly what happened to Joseph. Joseph, after reacting this way, rejecting that woman, could have thought the same thing that many of us sometimes think. And he could have said, I don't know, maybe, "Look, God, I did not sin. I am such a good person. I resisted. Now God will compensate me for sure." And what happens to Joseph just a few verses later? Completely the opposite. Potiphar puts him in jail because his stalking wife lies by saying that Joseph tried to rape her. And here goes Joseph again to a crucial moment. Instead of turning his back to God and complain, he now does an amazing job in jail. We see this in Genesis 39:21-22. "The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all of those held in the prison. He was made responsible for all that was done there." It is amazing. He's back in prison and he does it again. Keeps working hard. He keeps doing a great job. The world is full of trouble, circumstances and temptations that will try to knock us down. And even when we do what pleases God, you probably will not see his favor immediately. But we must resist. We must keep strong in the Lord without getting tired of doing good. Again, we must resist. We must keep strong in the Lord without getting tired of doing good. The irony is that in all these struggles, perseverance can give us a break. Do you actually know why? Because you are not fighting with your own strength, but with God's strength. And that is why you will never get tired. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power." Again, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. So when you feel like you can't take it anymore, draw strength from the power of God. When you feel like you can't go on, draw strength from the power of God, so the things you do can prosper. Genesis 39:23 says, "Because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did." The Lord was with Joseph. This is why he succeeded wherever he was, even at his worst moments. Even at our worst times, we can also succeed. Power comes from God. And just as it was available to Joseph, the same power is available to us. If we persevere in our relationship with God and do our part, you will be able to live your life in a very different way, even through difficulties. I can assure you that the problems will not end. Even if the COVID vaccine arrives and our lives return to a new normal, in our lives, there will be all kinds of crucial moments where your faith will have the opportunity to be strengthened. And you know how? Through perseverance. But it will not only be perseverance that will define us in the crucial moments that we face in our lives. This takes us to the next point, honesty. Honesty is a value that will pay off. I truly believe that God delights in his honest children. However, this one is a value that nowadays is truly diminished. It is amazing what lack of honesty can do to a country, to a family, to a person. Sadly, the whole world struggles with this, but apparently Mexico struggles being one of the most corrupt countries. In the international corruption ranking, we rank 138 out of 180 countries. We are just along with Guinea, Iran, and Lebanon. And that is just crazy. And that is because there is no honesty in this country. 42 places from being the most corrupt country in the world. And we can blame the government. We can blame the politicians, the police force, whom, by the way, are the worst qualified in the level of corruption. But if you really think about it, the reality is that values are learned where? At home. At home, we are taught to lie or not to lie. At home, we are taught to follow Jesus or to follow anything else. An example of honesty is Daniel. Daniel, who has striking similarities to Joseph, the two prospered in foreign lands after interpreting what those strange lands governor dreams meant. And also these two characters were given very important positions as a result of their fidelity to God. And by the way, his fidelity to God was largely instilled from home. Joseph through his parents, and Daniel belonged to a noble family of the kingdom of Judah. When we hear Daniel's name, the lion's den comes to mind almost immediately. But what brought him to be in the lion's den gives us an incredible lesson. Listen up. Darius was the king of Persia, and as his kingdom grew, well, he appointed 120 satraps, who were something like the governors of the states today. He did it so that they would help him govern a fairly large territory and with his be able to govern the people. Darius also appointed 3 administrators to supervise the 120 satraps, and Daniel was one of those 3 administrators. I see this like the satraps were in charge of every province, every state, and then all of them just supervised all of the satraps. So, as we mentioned before, Daniel was already one of those 3 administrators. So, if you think about it, Daniel already had an awesome position, but he continued to excel over the satraps and administrators to the point that the king decided to give him the leadership of the whole kingdom. You heard right, the whole kingdom. That is, to be above the satraps and also the administrators. This should lead us to ask ourselves some questions. Why was Daniel so successful? Why did it turn out that Daniel had the king's favor above others? Why did he rise so fast from his position and earn the king's respect? Why did God allow Daniel to be so successful? The key is in something that can be easily overlooked. God's favor for Daniel was the result of a decision that Daniel made at some point in his life when he began a habit that changed his history. In a moment, we will go on to that. But in the meantime, as usual, the people around him were full of envy and jealousy towards Daniel. And the following happened in Daniel 6:4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for changes against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." This is genius because although they are trying to find some reason to accuse him, they could not find a single one. Do you know why? This has an explanation. Because Daniel was honest. He was trustworthy. He was the kind of person that every leader wants to have at his side. Someone he can trust. Someone who is honest. Someone who is not corrupt. Who would not be looking for that? Honesty helps us to keep growing. It is something that's very precious because it's so rare. Daniel had the king's favor because he was honest. And because of this, the others were jealous and they wanted to finish Daniel. Surely Daniel hindered them to do their acts of corruption, and this is why they planned a conspiracy where Daniel's faith was compromised. These guys knew that Daniel would never do anything against his faith, so they concentrated their efforts right there. The satraps and administrators hatched a plan and went to see the king to convince him to cast for a month into the lion's den anyone who worshipped another god or man who was not the king himself. They, of course, knew that Daniel would never, ever stop praying God. The king, of course, likes the idea. He buys into that idea. And the plan to get rid of Daniel was underway. Daniel kept doing what he always did, of course. And despite the king's edict, he went to his house and prayed. He went to his house and prayed. To think that is just crazy. Praying for Daniel, of course. It wasn't something out of the ordinary. He already had that good habit of praying, so he just went to his house again, and he just prayed as he always did. The result was, of course, what we all know. They arrested Daniel for disobeying, and he knew it. He already knew it. He wasn't like, "Oh, I didn't know this was the new rules." He was conscious of everything, and he knew he was going to be thrown to the lion's den to be devoured by them, but despite of that, he decided to be truthful to God. What did Daniel do? When Daniel was praying, he was lining his heart to God's heart to do his will and not Daniel's will. That's what he teaches us. We need to align our heart to God's heart because it strengthens us. This gives us strength. And then when crucial moments come, then we will be prepared to fight and defeat. Daniel's honesty was superior because it was cultivated from his prayer life, from his relationship with God. Daniel did what God liked, despite the consequences, and that is what we should learn from him today. In this crucial moment we are facing, we will be tempted to do what's not pleasing to God, out of necessity or even despair, but this is the reason why it is so important to align our hearts with God's. So when the crucial moment arrives, we will be incorruptible. We will be honest and we will do just like Daniel did, what pleases God. If we do this, then God will not allow the lions to devour us. He will keep their mouths closed. And finally, another value that will define us at crucial moments is courage. Joshua 1:9, one of my favorite verses, and it has helped me a lot on my life. Joshua 1:9 says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is my command, be strong and courageous. This verse has been such a source of inspiration for me. I have held onto it through my own crucial moments, and it has given me the strength and the courage that only a word that is alive can give you. It is easy to speak of courage when everything is going well, but there will be a time when you will have to be brave, and maybe it's now, through this pandemic, when you have to help your children at homeschool, or those with children know what I'm talking about, right? This is truly for the brave. I have always felt respect for the teachers, but after this, I now look at them as heroes. And thanks to all the mom and dads that sit down with their children and help them with their school. Do you realize how this pandemic pushes us to be brave? Teaching children can be super complicated. But if on top of that, when you add the stress of having the children at home, a business that has collapsed, when the confinement makes us despair or even depresses us, or you have lost your job, or illness, or even death has knocked on the door, that is truly when we really need, and it's important to be brave. This is what happened to war hero Joshua Chamberlain. Joshua was a simple theology student and a public speaking teacher, but one day his country was at war, and he answered the call. And in July of 1863, Joshua and his troop of just 300 soldiers were the only thing holding back the opposite army. Joshua and these 300 soldiers resisted fiercely, but the difference in troops at that time was abysmal. Only 80 of the 300 soldiers stood. The others had been already shot down by the enemy bullets. When the soldiers told Joshua that they only had one ammunition per soldier and that there would be no backup arriving, Joshua knew that he had to do something or they would be finished. The enemy army was preparing the attack formation, and the most reasonable thing to do was for them to surrender. Since they were only 80 soldiers and they had practically no ammunition and the backup was not going to arrive, but Joshua Chamberlain, just like Joseph and Daniel, was not the kind of man who surrendered easily. So he climbed up to a barricade, drew his sword, and holding it high, he cried out, "Charge! Charge!" And this is how one of the most unlikely victories in military history happened. Only 80 Union soldiers captured 4,000 Confederates in just a few minutes. 80 versus 4,000. Can you imagine? If Joshua Chamberlain had not done this, it is possible that the course of this war would have changed dramatically, as well as the results. Because if the rebels would have gained ground, they would have gained a strategic position in the hills. So the rebels could have turned the situation around and would have won the war. This means that the courage of a man at a crucial moment changed part of history. The courage of just one man at a crucial moment. And one of the comments that Chamberlain made after the war was the following. I had within me the inability to not do anything. I knew that I could die, but I also knew that I would not die with a bullet in my back. So he took action. Today we are living a crucial moment in history. Nothing is more as we knew it a few months ago. Do you agree? Everything now has changed. I don't know if this happened to you too, but in the beginning of this, everything was so weird to me. The masks, the gloves, the thermometers at the supermarkets. Like, why? Or how? And at the same time, that also made you feel a bit nervous or anxious, but we're getting used to this now. Today, it's just normal that everyone uses their masks when going out, that they take your temperature, that only one person is allowed to the supermarket. Kids are no longer shopping with their families, malls are closed, and we're getting used to this. Life changed for us completely, and most likely we're going to face a new reality. So, what are we supposed to do now? Today is the time to fight. However, there is also the possibility of the inability to not do anything. So, we must be conscious that by doing nothing, we are also making a choice. That is why today we must make the decision to be brave. We must not surrender to the inability to not do anything. Instead, we must remember what God commands us to do. Be strong and courageous. So go up to your trench, whatever that is, and yell from the top of your lungs, charge. Charge for your marriage, fight for it. We know how stressful it is to be confined together, but charge and fight for your marriage. I assure you, it is worth it. Charge for a good relationship and education for your children. Fight for that. Educate them. Do devotionals with them. Pray with them. Play with them. Find a different, a new way to be a family. Get out of the couch, turn off the TV, build Lego houses, castles, create ideas, create dreams, read to them, educate them, love them. You have an amazing opportunity that we never had before. Charge to your finances. We know it's super complicated as many people have lost their jobs, and believe me, in Cancun, the situation is even worse. Because we live from tourism. Everybody lives from tourism. And there is no tourism in Cancun anymore. Many people have lost their jobs. Many companies have closed. Hotels are in very difficult economic situations. But you know what? You are creative. You are smart. You are the child of God. So invent and reinvent yourself. And you can change. You can charge towards your finances and be successful. God is with you. But above all, above everything, charge towards your relationship with God. Here is where you should concentrate. Do you remember when you said, I really don't have time for this? Now you have it. You have all the time you need to strengthen your relationship with God. History will have memory of what we did in this pandemic, in this crucial moment that we had to live. So make yourself three questions. Will we be perseverant? And despite extreme situations, will we keep deeply in our hearts the truth that says that God is with us? Will we be honest? And even in these crucial moments, we will put God first by doing the right thing? Will we be brave? And instead of a sword, will we hold on high the love of God and we will go charge and fight? Our prayer is that we do. Jesus is our perfect example of courage. He charged towards all of our sins. He paid an unimaginable price with his life on the cross for us, who have put our faith in Him. This is why today, every Sunday, we will celebrate the Holy Communion. So please go get your elements while we also go get ours, and we will celebrate together. Today we remember the sacrifice of love and courage that Jesus made on the cross for us. So let's take the bread to remember His crucified body. Also, let's drink the wine to remember its spilled blood that cleaned all of our sins. Let's drink the wine. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your courage. Thank you for your perseverance. Thank you for your great honesty. Thank you for all that you are, Father. Thank you for your perseverance because you never gave up on us. For so big was your love for us that you sent your own Son to give His life for us in the cross. Thank you for that beautiful sacrifice that allows us to have direct access to you. We ask you that you will let us value and that you remind us constantly what Jesus did for us by spilling His precious blood for each one of us. You're a truly incredible God. And we please ask you that you inspire us to keep fighting, to remain in the battle, to go and charge, to be perseverant, to be honest, and to keep trying to look a little bit like you. I pray for all the families that are suffering through this crisis around the world, and for all the families that have been affected with their finances, with fear, with stress, with sickness, with the loss of their own families. And also allow us to find in your word the love and support we need to continue fighting. We know that you are a God that can do it all and that has everything under control. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, amen.